Good morning. I'm never quite sure how these services start. When you've had 40 years in the Anglican Church, it could be bells, it could be anything that starts it off, but it would seem that in the different churches that are in this circuit, that they all have their own way of doing it, and indeed it's for me to start. So a very warm welcome, particularly to those who don't normally worship here with us, here at PMC. We hope that you'll get something from the service and that you'll go out rejoicing. I haven't actually been given any notices to give out, but two people have paid me lots of money so that they can come up and speak here. So I'm going to first of all call Chris, and he'll be telling us something about Alpha, etc.
Good morning. Good morning. I've got three things to remember. Alpha starts a week on Thursday. Kathy over here, bless her, she's taken over the running of the food and everything. So Kathy asked me to say, if you'd like to cook a meal for Alpha one Thursday night between now and Easter, you'd be very, very welcome. So that's one thing. Second thing is, Alpha starts a week on Thursday. And if you haven't done Alpha, please come along and do it. Alpha's now been seen by about 24 million people worldwide. It's in 100 different countries, 100 different languages, and it runs in Penrith as well. So do come along, you'd be very welcome. It's a very relaxed, low-key opportunity to explore the Christian faith, meaning of life. This Tuesday, I'm doing a slideshow at the George, which is coordinated with the start of Alpha. I mean, lots of farmers and outdoor friends are coming to this, hopefully, and they'll hopefully get a gentle invitation to come to Alpha as well. So do pray about that I'll be able to sort of introduce Alpha and God as a sort of secular, secular event, really. But anyway, so that's that. Get your ticket. They're going quite fast, which is scary, but good. And please pray about the Alpha bit of it, and pray or come to Alpha a week on Thursday. Thank you. Over to Paul, I think.
Thanks, morning. Mine's a quick notice. It's always quite a shock, really, when you get around to the time of year where we're starting to prepare already for the summer. I'm like, oh, man, How's that happened so quick? But of course, we're now at the stage where we're starting to think about the summer festival that we'll be going to in the summer with the young people. So people that are now at secondary school, you'll be able to come with us in the summer. For the past 9 years, we've been going along to Soul Survivor. And of course, last year was the final running of the Soul Survivor event. And so this year, we're trying somewhere new. And I've got a little promo video from it to give a bit of a taste as to what we might expect. I'm just going to dance the music.
As a thing, we love young people. We're passionate about inspiring generations. had the privilege of seeing thousands of lives changed, and we're so excited about the future of DCI, as well as our friends and in our other gatherings, because we believe God has so much in store for the young people across the UK.
So in 2020, DCI is moving from the spring to the summer. Our new program is the Disaster Showdown, which is a local place, and we'd like to invite you to come and join us. It doesn't matter if you're not in the hall, it doesn't matter which church you go to, or which new organization you're part of. It's so important to come and be part of the future of DCI.
We can't wait for welcoming you to Disaster Show in the summer of 2020. Check out our website and social media. But for now, we'll see you in 2020.
Great. So last year at Soul Survivor, then there were about three different new festivals that were sort of on the rise that they encouraged us to take a look at. This one happened to fit well for us. It's kind of in the Staffordshire Showground. I've had experience with the Vineyard Church and found it to be sort of a great sort of all welcoming kind of organisation. Yeah, that was important for me, I think, that actually it was an organisation that I felt that we could trust as well, having built up the trust with Soul Survivor, that Vineyard comes with that reputation in my experience too. And so I just encourage you really just to invite along, start talking about this event, that they're suggesting that it's going to be accessible for all young people of the sort of secondary school age. And so we're very much hoping that we'll be able to invite young people along that have been coming to the cafe, that have come along to the youth clubs, as well, of course, of extending the welcome to those young people that are part of the church family that come and gather to worship with us here as well. I'm going to put more information out as I'm just waiting for a quote to come back from the coach. It's going to be about £140 if you get in early. It's a 5-day camp, so it's not the cheapest thing on the planet, but hopefully it's also affordable, and every year we're able to offer some support for families that are unable to pay the full amount. So again, if you're interested but finance is an issue, then don't let that be a barrier to you coming and taking part in what we're doing. Come and have a word with me, or ask someone to talk on behalf of a friend, if that seems appropriate. But yeah, we'd love to take a big coach load of young people down again, and well, we'll see what it's all about, really. Thanks.
Well, it seems as though there's a lot happening. I'm very interested that Chris was very humble. He said that 24 million people had been through Alpha, and he says throughout the world. He didn't say that only 500,000 have been to the rest of the world and the rest has been through Penrith. But what language is it we speak in Penrith?
English.
Oh, it's English, was it? Right. Okay then. We've probably all heard someone say, it's who you know that really matters, not what you do. So this gives us a picture of a need for good connections. So many people try to sidle up to their boss, the team captain, the well-to-do, even the clergy. But what I want to focus on this morning is this. Essentially, it's not what you do, but who you are that really matters. And today's readings have some good guidelines for us. Guidelines to see Jesus as our best hope and solution to our situation. Guidelines for us to know that God calls each one of us to be his servant. I wonder, what do you think of that? What do you think of being his servant? For you, is it a duty or a joy? A threat or a promise? A hindrance or an honour? Recently, there was not a little controversy and concern about the New Year's honours list. You possibly heard about it. There was a scandal of private addresses being published online of those who were to be honoured, and there were confidentiality reasons there and security reasons. And then there were the attacks on at least one particular person whom some felt was not worthy of the proposed honour. I want you to just take a few seconds now to think of what, for you, honour is about. In the recent general election campaign, much was said, but not necessarily done, about the need for integrity, trust, and truthfulness. And perhaps you think other values are important. So just think now, what for you is honour about? In a society which measures worth and importance by a bewildering range of values, wealth, beauty, intelligence, job, etc., etc., just what is to be the focus of honour? This morning now, as we begin our worship, let's think about what it means to honour Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus shall take the highest honour. The honour given to Jesus is not an annual award of something done in the last year or so, but an eternal celebration of God's gift to us of his only Son. We'll sing it through twice. So giving honour to God is shown in our worship and in our life. And I worship you, I give my life to you, I fall down on my knees. Yes, I worship you, I give my life to you, I fall down on my knees. Quieter, more reflective song, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. I want us to focus on that abiding presence, that radiant glory, that enabling power, and their challenge to us of realizing what it means to be allowed to be with and experience the Lord. Perhaps you might want to sit for this. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, hope of your people, hope of your world, touch now our lives as we gather before you. Shine in our hearts, illuminate our minds, and light up our spirits, so that we will grasp more clearly the hope you give us, the assurance of your love and the joy of life in all its fullness, giving you praise and worship here, now, and for all eternity. Amen. Let's just commit a few seconds in silence and reflection on how last week went, and on those things which we know were not pleasing to our Father. Sovereign God, without your light in our lives, we walk in darkness, denied the joy, peace, hope, strength and guidance that you alone can give. So we ask through this time of worship that the light of Christ might break yet more fully into our hearts and shine more brightly through our lives to your glory. And we pray for the children of our church, for those who teach them, who guard them. We pray that those in responsibility for them may give and act in accordance with what you want, to say those things which need to be said. And we ask that the children may hear that and take those things to their hearts and into their lives. Amen. So we invite now the children to do their disappearing trick, and we pray that you'll have a good time in your session. I wish I could go out with such a bounce. Last Sunday, the 5th of January, marked the end of the Christmas season. And last Monday, the 6th of January, marked the start of the Epiphany season. Yes, Epiphany always starts on the 6th of January, with the story of the wise men. This season of Epiphany has at least four Sundays, when we focus on the revelation of Jesus, not only to the wise men, but also we focus on his baptism in the River Jordan and on the first miracle in Cana of Galilee when water was transformed into wine. Jesus is manifested to the nations of the world, to his fellow Israelites and his local neighbourhood. Jesus is revealed to all in every human situation and condition as the perfect human being. And his life, death and resurrection can give us hope and salvation even in our own personal world of pain and problems, tension and tiredness. So a short prayer of thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the new day you bring through the rising of your sun, the new beginning, new life you daily make possible through him. Thank you for your promise that however deep the darkness may seem, light will dawn again, shining in our hearts forevermore. Before we have our first reading, let's sing that hymn, Meekness and Majesty. And as we sing it, I invite you to focus on the paradox of the revelation of Jesus, both human and divine, in meekness and majesty, showing manhood and deity, Lord of eternity, who washes our feet. Yes, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. This is our God, Lord of infinity, stooping so tenderly, lifts our humanity to the heights of his throne. Wow, yes indeed, a mystery, meekness and majesty. To come out now and to read our first scripture.
Our first reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, reading from verses 15 to 17. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am now pleased. Amen.
Thank you, David. What on earth is happening at this River Jordan? What is the context of the baptism of Jesus? The whole country is burning with expectancy. The unthinkable is taking place. Jews in their hundreds are taking the unprecedented step of following John into the waters of Jordan, confessing national and personal sins and calling on God to cleanse them and make them fit for his kingdom. And what happens? Jesus comes forward to join others in the waters of baptism. Jesus is prepared to go into those waters of judgment and emerge impregnated with God's life. He is prepared to identify with the servant motif, with the faithful remnant in Israel. Now, the readers of Matthew's Gospel would have soon picked out the five key themes of Christian baptism: repentance, forgiveness of sin, fulfillment of all righteousness, the mark of sonship, and the pledge of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And these five themes stem from the baptism of Jesus himself. But there have always been a cluster of problems and questions surrounding this event in Jesus' life. First, why? Why was Jesus baptized? John was calling men to repentance. Just what has Jesus done to repent of? Matthew feels the force of that question and faces it head on with the exchange between Jesus and John. John would have prevented him saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And the answer of Jesus? "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. In the context here, righteousness refers to that quality of life which was demanded of candidates for baptism by John. Jesus acknowledges God's claim on him, as on others, for total consecration of life and holiness of character. Another reason for the baptism of Jesus was that it allowed John publicly to announce the Messiah's arrival and the start of his ministry, with the symbolic anticipation of his full and profound baptism on the cross, which lay in the not too distant future. And a third reason for the baptism of Jesus is picked up at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So Jesus is giving the example of Matthew's readers, the example Matthew's readers should follow. That was the first question: why was Jesus baptized? A second question often asked regarding Jesus' baptism is, didn't Jesus already possess the Spirit and sonship? Yes, he did. And Matthew goes to some pains to show that Jesus was conceived by the agency of the Spirit and was indeed Son of God. Remember the infancy narrative. "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. The baptism of Jesus is the public declaration of this. Here at this moment of self-humbling and obedience, Jesus receives a deep assurance that he is indeed Son of God and has been equipped by the Spirit to bring in the kingdom. The third question, what did the voice from heaven mean? Well, if we knew our intertestamental period better and the Old Testament, we would know that the obvious meaning was that the age-long silence of God is now ended. The divine silence since the death of the last prophets, Haggai, Zechariah and Malachi, was now broken. Amazing as the occurrence of the word from God was, its content was even more astonishing. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This seems to be a fusion of two Old Testament texts, one from Psalms addressing the king as a son of God. However, as we know, many kings had proved very disappointing sons, but there was hope in Israel that one day God would bring into the world a messianic son, a worthy ruler, to inherit David's throne. This voice from heaven announced that this ultimate messianic ruler, the true son, had indeed come. But that was only half the message. "This is my son, the beloved." The other half, addressing Jesus, is "my" or "the beloved," "my son" or "the beloved with whom I am well pleased," takes us back to the chosen servant of God, whose destiny is to suffer abuse and opposition, and eventually to die for the sins of the people. This is what the voice from heaven meant. God Almighty was bringing in his long-promised deliverer to usher in the kingdom. He was both messianic son and suffering servant, and the descent of the Spirit not only marked him out for this ministry, but equipped him for this task. Yes, the baptism of Jesus is highly significant for Jesus' understanding of himself, for our understanding of Jesus, and for our understanding of Christian baptism for ourselves. So let's now turn to that remarkable Old Testament passage in Isaiah chapter 42. David.
Isaiah chapter 42, reading from verse 1 to verse 9. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord God says, the Creator of heavens, who stretches out the earth out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs up in it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and will walk you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prisons, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not yield my glory to any other, or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being. I announce them to you.
I wonder, do you remember those words I used at the beginning? Essentially, it's not what you do, but who you are that really matters. This passage from Isaiah, the first of the servant songs, revolves around understanding who the servant is rather than what he does in his own strength. The servant is called upon to do many things, but he can do these things only because of who essentially he is. And it's the same for us as followers of Jesus. What is fundamentally important is who we are in Christ. So what difference does our being in Christ make in our lives? In what we do, say, think, in how we behave, show love, relate to others, in how we promote justice and live righteously in the world, locally, nationally, and throughout God's world. Yes, the cross on our ballot paper a month ago should have reflected the cross of Jesus in our lives. So what's the Isaiah passage about, and what relevance does it have in our lives? The announcement at the start of chapter 42, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights," that suggests a new and significant change has now been reached in the development of the theme of the servant of God. It's like a sudden blast of the trumpets or roll of drums in an orchestral work. We immediately sense that a climax has been reached, or that a distinct change in the tempo or direction of the work is about to take place. And this is certainly what happens here. Clearly it is God himself who makes that announcement. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my spirit, my soul delights." But who is the servant to whom he refers? And to whom is he speaking? A possibility is the servant is the surviving remnant of Israel, and that the announcement is made to the nations. But this servant is far too ideal a figure to represent Israel in any direct sense. This servant fills God with delight. He is quiet and gentle, faithful and persevering. He does not falter or become discouraged. Think of Israel. Israel is resentful and complaining, fearful and dismayed, blind, deaf and disobedient. If Israel is to be found at all in our passage, it is in the bruised reed and smouldering wick of verse 3, rather than in the servant of verse 1. The servant in this passage seems to be a figure who embodies all that Israel ought to be, but is not. He is God's perfect servant. The announcement then is made to God's people themselves. The servant is not just an ideal they should aspire to, but a real person who is God's answer to their weakness and failure. The mission of the Lord's servant is a gigantic one. It is nothing less than to put God's plan for his people into full effect and to make the truth about the Lord, Israel's God, known everywhere. This servant will undo the horrendous and degrading effects sin has had on the human race and restore to people their true freedom and dignity as sons and daughters of God. The work of the servant would open a new chapter in God's relationship with his people and with the world, where his glory would be displayed in a new way, including and leading eventually to a new heavens and a new earth. Of course, it's a small step now for us to understand that the servant of God is manifested in Jesus, that his life, death and resurrection has completed the servant's work. However, even though Christ has ascended into heaven, his work continues, not from heaven directly, but through us, his servants, on earth today. Remember, it's who we are that really matters. Because if we realize who we are in Christ, and Paul puts it like this, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. If we realize who we are in Christ, then what we do will be what he wants. The source of our strength will be the Spirit of God. The instrument of our aspirations, actions and ambitions will be the Word of God. Our manner will be gentle rather than overbearing. And probably, our servant mission will also involve us in personal suffering. Yes, we ourselves need release from bitterness, blindness, and spiritual darkness. Our deepest need is for Jesus to heal our broken relationship with God. And who we are in Christ enables us all to receive all this, whilst at the same time proclaiming and performing this salvation for others. So in the power we exercise as God's servants today, how will you take care of the bruised reed and nurse the dimly burning wick? A massive task, yes, but remember those words at Jesus' baptism. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Because we are essentially in Jesus, then these same words are said to us as individuals, to you and to me. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." What more encouragement do we need? We're going to sing, "Let the Love of God Enfold You." Perhaps we can receive some encouragement and joy from remembering who we are in Jesus and how he can support us today. Just as Jesus went down into the waters of his baptism, let us again immerse ourselves into his love. Let us allow ourselves again to be immersed into his love, and let him give us his wrap over care. Let these words become real for you. Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your hearts and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you and his Spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole. Let the love of God enfold you. Prayer. The special prayer for this Sunday, the baptism of Jesus. Heavenly Father, at the Jordan you revealed Jesus as your Son. May we recognize him as our Lord and know ourselves to be your beloved children through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. And in this intercession, to the words, Lord, in your mercy, please respond, hear our prayer. Let us pray to God, who in baptism has called us to be his body on earth. Send the Holy Spirit upon the church, that the glory of the Son may be known and proclaimed. Bless all who come for baptism. Fill them with grace to walk in the way of Christ, whose example they have followed. Bless those who are leading people to know the Lord. So we pray for the forthcoming Alpha course, for those who will lead it, and for those who teach our children. We pray for our ministers, for Tim and David. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Cleanse with the waters of holiness all that is corrupt in the world today. Speak with the voice from heaven to those in authority and lead them into the right way. Teach them that all their power comes from one who is greater than they, the source of all power. And at this time we pray for Her Majesty's government and Her Majesty's opposition. For good leadership, faithful leadership, leadership with integrity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all those who at this time are preparing for baptism, for themselves or for their children. Give them the light of the Holy Spirit to lead them to new life in Christ. And may all that we do in our daily lives be pleasing in the sight of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Be with those for whom the glory is veiled by suffering, and let the light of heaven shine upon them again. As Jesus followed the way of human obedience, so may he bring healing to the sick and comfort to the sorrowful. And in the silence we remember those known to us who are suffering in any way, at home or in hospital. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let the heavens be open to those who have passed from this world, cleansed by baptism and kept faithful by the Holy Spirit. May they find all joy and peace in the glory of the Father. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray in the name of Christ, the Son, the Beloved, in whom we have received grace upon grace. We now say the Our Father in the version that you know and are comfortable with. Believing in the promises of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The offering will now be taken. It will be taken in silence, and so perhaps it can be a greater act of worship as we are more aware of what we are doing in making our offering. So if the stewards would please enable that to happen. Music will be played. Father, we offer you our thanks for all you give us. May these gifts reflect something of our love for you. Enable us to be more generous with what you so freely give us, and use these gifts to your praise and glory in this community and further afield. Amen. The challenge set before us today, at the beginning of another new year, is to remember who we are in Jesus. To see Jesus as our best hope and solution to our situation. To know that God calls each one of us to be his servant. What a task. Indeed, what a challenge. But then God gives us all we need. We sing now, O breath of life, come sweeping through us. And that gives us all the clues we need. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. I found a prayer for the praise for the water of baptism, which is all about what we've been thinking of today. And so hopefully that will come up on the screen and you will be invited to echo back the words in bold print. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, for your gift of water in creation, we give you thanks and praise. For your Spirit sweeping over the waters, bringing light and life, we give you thanks and praise. For your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, baptized in the River Jordan, we give you thanks and praise. For your new creation, brought to birth by water and the Spirit, we give you thanks and praise. For your grace bestowed upon us, your children, washing away our sins, we give you thanks and praise. So, Father, accept our sacrifice of praise. By the power of your life-giving Spirit, bless the waters of your new creation. Lord, receive our prayer. May we, your servants who have been washed in them, be made one with your Son, who took the form of a servant. Lord, receive our prayer. May your Holy Spirit, who has brought us to new birth in the family of your church, raise us in Christ, our anointed Lord, to full and eternal life. Lord, receive our prayer. For all might, majesty, and dominion are yours, now and forever. Alleluia. Amen. So may God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water welling up to eternal life, perfect in you the image of his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you love, this Epiphany and always. Amen. Before the dismissal, just to remind you that there are refreshments afterwards and there is a lunch as well. So please do stay for that if you can. And can I give my thanks to all those who have helped in any way in this service, not least the prayer team at the beginning who prayed for us. But thank you so much for all you've done to enable this service to take place. Our worship is ended. Now our service begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.